Hello, I'm Paula Geisler, and I'm the moderator for this discussion today. We're going to be talking about a living history Chautauqua that's sponsored by the Town and Country Garden Club of Silver City. We've assembled a group of, Jeanette Giese and the Town and Country group have assembled a group of 26 thespians who are going to be depicting people who lived their lives, died, and are buried at our own cemetery, Memory Lane, out off of 180 East at Memory Lane. So all of these people are going to depict different characters who are buried out there. And first, I'd like to just go round robin around, starting to my left, and have all of you introduce yourself and tell us who you're going to portray.
Well, my name is Michelle Carrillo, and I will be portraying Minerva Terrazas Carrillo, who was born and raised here in Grant County.
Hello, my name is Xinyan Weeks. I'm going to portray a Chinese lady who born in 1910 and who owned a Manhattan Cafe Chinese restaurant here in Silver City.
Hi, I'm Pep Perotti. I'm going to portray Herbert Homer Dennis, who appears to have been the last little boy to see Charlie McComas before his parents were massacred and Charlie was carried off by the Apaches.
My name's Jim Redford, and I'm going to be portraying James Woodward. He was the first assayer and also mining engineer in Grant County.
I'm Dennis Marotti, and I'm going to portray John M. Bullard, who was one of the founders of Silver City.
Yes, I'm Ercy Ross, and I'm going to portray Mr. Forrest Norrell, who, after being discharged from the military, who was a Buffalo soldier, made residence here and also passed away here and was buried here.
Thank all of you for being with us today. And now I'd really like to tell people what we're inviting you to attend. This is an event that's going to happen on Memorial Day. That's Monday, May the 27th. It's going to be between 4 and 7 p.m. at Memorial Memory Lane Cemetery, and that's at the intersection of Highway 180 East and Memory Lane. I heard a rumor there were going to be some black balloons marking the place to turn south, but we'll see. At any rate, this is a free educational Chautauqua, and it's called Memory Lane Lives. It's at the cemetery, as I said, and these people are all here because we cannot say no to Jeanette Giese, who is the prime mover for this historic recreation. And I don't know if she's assigned people to play particular characters or not. Knowing Jeanette, I think she might have. But I wish that today, instead of doing a spoiler about your performance when you're going to channel these people who lived and died and are buried here, I wish you'd talk about yourself, who you are, why this character is important to you, what you came to know about yourself and your community as a result of what we're going to be doing, and what do we learn from this character? Why are we remembering these different people? Is that okay? And we're going to have a test at the end. Okay, then Michelle, I guess do you mind?
As I stated before, my name is Michelle Carrillo, and I was born and raised here in Grant County as well. My grandparents were first born here back in the early 20th century. In 1925, my grandmother was born in Pinos Altos, as well as my father was born in Arenas Valley, and I too as well. Why I'm doing this is because I'm very interested in history, and I believe that everyone in this community should know the history of this community. And I believe that everybody that is being portrayed in this event had something to do with Grant County and its establishment that everybody should be aware of, whether you have been born and raised here or whether you just moved to Silver City.
So talk about your character. Who is it?
Well, my character is Minerva Terrazas Carrillo, and she was born and raised in Pinos Altos. She married my grandfather, who was from Hanover, and why I have chosen her to portray is their historic involvement with the New Jersey Empire Zinc Mine Strike in Hanover, and what basically was the origination for the movie Salt of the Earth.
Hi, my name is Xinyan Weeks. I am Chinese, of course. You know, everyone say, you know, all Chinese look like. Really, after I learned the character, you know, I realized so much I do not know. By the way, I introduce a little, and I actually from China. I emigrated to America 8 years ago, and I'm a Mandarin teacher at a Western and also Mandarin teacher at the Aldo Leopold High School. To be part of this program, it's really eyes-opening. I met so much. It's met so much nice people, and I learned so much. And with the ancestor. And at first, when Jeanette showed me, say, I become a Sulem, I said, oh, I know Sulem. She must be from China like I do. You know, after I learned, no, it's not easy. Actually, she have eight brothers and also have other sister also. And her story is really big, and I like her strength. I found out she's not an immigrant like I am. She actually is an American girl. And that if you want to hear more about her story, come to join us. I will tell you. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Pep Brody again. I, too, was born and raised in Grant County, but decades and possibly centuries before Michelle. My parents were teaching at the university, and, of course, I grew up and went to school here, left in 1959, went off for the Navy for a while, and then taught school myself for many decades. So I've always been interested in silver, and I've been amused to find that merely as a result of growing up here and being as old as I am now, you find that you're a historian on some minor points of local history, which is shocking. Jeanette was kind enough to assign me this character of Mr. Dennis, and one of the things that struck me about it when I first started reading it, I found out he finally passed away in 1923, but the period somehow between about 1900 and about 1930 is a big blank for me in Silver City history. The papers are there, I suspect, in the library. It's hard to get a hold of them except on microfilm. But that's a period that I don't know much about. Our earliest history, our pioneer days, are pretty well documented in the old Enterprise books. And from 1940 on, I pretty much know the people that were involved. But that span between at the beginning of the century has been a hard one to nail down. And I've been interested in doing it. So it's been fun.
Jim Redford here again. I am portraying this person, James Woodward, who is an important businessman and engineer in this area, and it's to call me a thespian. It's a little bit of a stretch. And the reason I'm playing this part is because Jeanette told me I had to. And I suspect a lot of us could say that. Actually, I'm very interested in the history of this area because my family's been part of it for so long. They came out here part of my family came out here in the 1870s, and part of them came in the 1880s in wagon trains. And they worked in the Mugyon mines. In fact, the the character that I'm playing worked in the Mugyon mines at the very same time that my great-grandfather worked in the Mugyon mines. And so I don't know if they knew each other, but it was certainly possible. My grandfather worked at Santa Rita mine, and the 85 mine south of Lordsburg. So mining has been part of our history in the family for years, and it's been kind of fun looking back, finding out what went on here, and things that I didn't actually know but are really connected to our family.
I'm Dennis Marotti, portraying John Bullard. John Bullard was one of several people who settled here in 1869. Before that, the nearest settlement was Pinos Altos, which was a mining community. John and his brother James and another person filed a claim south of what used to be a marsh here and started a farm, and apparently they had very good crops the first few years. One of the problems with farming the marsh was that that was an Apache campground. This place was very green, had a spring, had nice cold water. So, of course, the Apaches did not take kindly to have people moving in and farming. One of the other farmers on the claim right next to Bullard's built a cabin and brought his family there, which the Apaches promptly killed his family and burned the cabin down. So right away there was Apache problems. John Bullard was quite active in trying to help protect the community, which was barely a community yet. The governor called him out in 1869 to try and help clean up the area a little bit. He got a bunch of people together, and they made the place a lot safer. Because of that, they started calling him Captain Bullard all the time. In 1870, in the spring, some silver was discovered by a town, Ralston, which is now Shakespeare. So everybody went down there to take a look, and John said, if that's silver, we sure got a lot more of that at home. So they came back, and there was a loose partnership of about eight gentlemen, James and John and a guy named Joseph T. Yankee, P. Yankee. They promptly filed a whole bunch of claims. One of the earliest claims was James and John's, and it was called the Legal Tender, and that was up on the hill behind what is now the courthouse. They also made plans at the time, instead of having just a sprawling camp, they decided that this would be a community, and they made plans to have actually a town here instead of just some torn-up mining camp, which most of them were. So the real contribution to James and John was the naming of Silver City and also the layout of a town instead of just having a rambling mining camp. So their town, well, it was everybody's town, but they're basically responsible for naming it. And everybody can thank them that this is a town now instead of just a ghost town.
Again, my name is Ricci Ross. I've been here for 36 years as the pastor of the Brewer Hill Missionary Baptist Church. And I, too, was asked by Jeanette to portray a gentleman that was very influential in the area, being one of two black men during the middle part of the 1880s. His name was Forrest Norrell. I'm not going to tell you anything too much about him, because if I do, you won't come out to the ceremony on the 27th. So the other person that I really enjoy talking about is myself. Like I said before, I came here in 1977 to pastor the Brewer Hill Missionary Baptist Church. And in fact, Miss Rebecca Brewer, who my wife will be portraying on that day, she's not here. So I'm not going to tell you anything about her either. So you got to come out and hear that. But I will say a little bit about Forrest. He was a very active person in the community. And one thing about him, he was very well liked by both black, white, and Hispanic. So if you want to know what he did and how he did it, come out on the 27th, and I will tell you all about it.
I wanted to just tell our listeners who, what, when, where, why, and how of what we're talking about. This is a reenactment of people who are buried at Memory Lane Cemetery here in Silver City, and it's sponsored by the Town and Country Garden Club. It is a living history Chautauqua. It's free. It's absolutely free, and it's on Monday, May the 27th, between 4 and 7 o'clock at Memory Lane. We are blessed to have the prime mover behind this entire endeavor sitting here. She's Jeanette Giese, and I wish, Jeanette, you'd sit here by me and let everybody hear your wonderful voice, because we're all here because of you.
Well, I'm so happy to be here and see all my good friends. I hope they're still good friends. it seems like this is going to be an exciting, interesting, fun thing to come see. And I've always had, and my husband and I, Dale, have always been into historical things, and we just learned so much about Silver City, and it was a wide open little western area that was rival to Tombstone and Dodge City, and it was really rowdy. It had about 50 bars at one time, and lots of ladies of the night or the evening, and then it turned into something totally different in like we are today. So, and these people that we have here were instrumental in making it such a nice little town to live in today. So that's it.
Thank you so much, Jeanette. And
I want to thank all the people who showed up today, but I also don't want to cut you off. Have we not talked about something that you feel we want to share with the community?
I think everybody has said quite a bit. I just hope that everyone will take a little bit of time. It's only a couple hours, and it'll be cooler at 4 o'clock than it would have been when we've done earlier. We did this about 15 years ago now, give or take. And so people have always asked me, why don't we do it again? And so finally, I can't do this by myself. And the Garden Club has taken on the cemetery program, or the cemetery, which when you visit out there, you'll see that there's a lot still to be done. We have established a beautiful rose garden. And when you all come, you just come in and you just find the rose garden, and you can park up there, and the tours begin there. There are three tours we've set up because we're expecting a lot of folks, and in order to see everybody, we've divided up the actors in their little, where their areas are, so that if you are really hardy and want to walk in the sunshine, in the we'll give you free water and help you out. And, oh, yes, there's a porta potty there where you're going to park at the Rose Garden. And you'll find it's very worthwhile. But the three tours are marked. Well, they will be marked by the time the day comes. They haven't marked them yet because I don't think we should do that until the day of the program. But we have a red tour and a white tour, and it's really a yellow tour, and a blue tour. And there's eight characters on each tour, and each actor will talk about 5 minutes. So if you are really, really into history, you'll learn a lot if you want to take on all the tours. And we hope that you'll be careful. People will be careful of and respectful of the what's out there. Be respectful to the graves. And forgot to mention, I couldn't do this without Jack Ellis. He is our coach, and he has really listened to our stories and told us pointers. And he's good at what he does, and he's been so good to be helping us for a couple months now. And then we have Paula and Kyle here. And anyway, that's about all I have to say.
Jeanette, give us a phone number if people want more information, since everybody's cat's got their tongue.
That's a good idea. My phone number is 388-1281. If I'm not there, we have an answering machine.
Well, I think that's it, unless somebody else.
Paula, you should never ask a Baptist preacher to talk.
Yeah. Well, maybe you'll say
I'm going to be nice. I'm going to save everything until the 27th.
Okay, well, we look forward to seeing a bunch of people there. Remember, it's free, it's educational, it's living history, and it is members of our community. Thank you, Kyle.
You're certainly welcome.